Welcome to the Startup Dentist Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Trutter. After over 800 plus successful dental startups, I'm here to share everything I know about starting a profitable and purposeful dental practice with you. In each episode, we get right to the core of what it takes to launch and grow a successful dental practice. So whether you've just started researching dental startups or you've been sitting on the fence for a while, this podcast is your personal roadmap to your very own dental practice. Let's get into it. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's great to be back here at the Startup Dentist Podcast. And if you are thinking about becoming a practice owner and you're trying to think about like, what are those first 90 days and what is the reality of becoming a practice owner in the first 90 days, then definitely want to check out one of my most recent episodes where I talked with Stacy Peters, who's the director of the Startup MBA here at Ideal Practices. And you're going to get 3 decades of experience about opening up practices and specifically in the business side. Cause I think for a lot of dentists and associate dentists, there's like a little bit of this, like, oh my gosh, the fear of like the business side. Everybody understands the clinical side, but it's really, what is that first 90 days? And there is that excitement, which is natural, but then like, there's also like, what do I need to be focused on in those first 90 days? So you definitely want to take a look at one of my most recent episodes where I talked to Stacy. So today we are going to dive into this episode. I have a special guest. And today we're going to dive into like, okay, I'm going to leave my associate position. And maybe you feel like you're there because of golden handcuffs. You're getting paid really, really well, but you know that this position is just not for you, that you know, like greener pastures lie on the other end. And today I'm going to interview a dentist who has taken that leap, who has left the associate position, that's left that comfort zone to become a practice owner of her own. And I was talking to her earlier and she said, this is the hardest thing ever, but I'm glad that I'm doing it. So you're going to hear some wise wisdom here from this person. So grab your notepad and let's make this dream practice of yours a living and breathing reality. So today I have a special guest and I'm glad that she's here because we had to push out about a week, but today I have Dr. Carly Sells here today. So hey, Dr. Carly, how's it going?
Hey, good. Happy to be here.
I'm so glad you're here. I don't get too many endodontists, which is awesome because, well, there's not a lot of you. And what I love is you've taken the leap. You've got a very successful practice, a very successful startup practice in a short period of time. And what I would love for our audience to hear about is a little bit of that journey of like becoming a practice owner, taking that leap, why you chose a startup, and also like some of the, even the fears that you had to overcome in order to become a practice owner in leaving that associate position, which might've been paying you really, really well and getting to that point. But before I get there, tell us a little bit about that journey, if you would, becoming a startup practice owner, where you came from, and let everybody know about who's Dr. Carly Sells and a little bit of that journey of becoming here a practice owner.
Okay. So I started my dental journey in the Army, where a job is assigned to you at a location that is assigned to you. I knew I would be a dentist. That was really my only skill in life, but I hoped it was somewhere warm and I hoped it was somewhere that I enjoyed. So that's how I started my dental journey, was in the Army and here around Savannah in Fort Stewart, Georgia. And then, 9 years later, I come out of the Army. I'm an endodontist. I knew that I wasn't going to stay in the Army forever. I knew I was just visiting. I really loved doing the teeth. I loved serving my country, but I didn't love some of the Army parts of the Army. So I knew that I was just visiting. Happy I did it. And my husband and I, we love the Savannah area. I left and came back to Fort Stewart as the endodontist. So I've been in the area a couple times. On my way out of the Army, I was moonlighting at a DSO a day a week for my last year in the Army and kind of just easily transitioned like, oh, I don't even have to look. I don't even have to look for a job. They like me. They've seen my root canals for a year, and they sure did scoop me up and get me a contract and get me set up before I even left the Army. So I did that as an in-house endodontist at a couple practices in the area. Honestly, I enjoyed that, but I wanted to work in an endo office. The Savannah area is not a huge metropolis or anything. I didn't necessarily have 10 offices looking for endodontists. So I kind of asked around and I found an associate job. I just kind of fell from the sky and they happened to be looking. So again, they scooped me right up in an endo practice and I worked there for a little while. And that was not what I hoped it would be either, for different reasons than I left the DSO and different reasons than I left the Army. But there is that security in having a job and having full-time employment and just having to show up and do the teeth every day. But, so obviously I appreciated that part of an associateship, but there was just things that I wanted to do differently. I wanted to do better. Yeah. I felt like I had kind of reached kind of a stagnant point that I'm making more money than I was in the Army. I'm doing more endo than I was at the DSO. There's more endo stuff around me, but it wasn't perfect. And it just, there was things I wanted to do differently and things that I missed about having all the latest and greatest tech at the DSO and even in the Army. And that's just not where I was working in the endo office. So, but I like living here and there just wasn't a lot of offices in the area. And I kind of asked around and other offices weren't looking, they were full up. So at that point it was either, well, do I need to pave my own way or do I need to, do we need to move? And, so that was kind of the crossroads that I came to was just, I just wasn't happy in my associate job. There was things I wanted to do better and differently. And I was doing okay there. And my boss wasn't, he wasn't pushing me away, but I just, I kind of wanted to do something different and do it better. So that's kind of where
I feel like that happens a lot. Like, I feel like so many, like you came through like our program and everything. And I feel like so many of our clients like yourself have been like exposed to DSOs, exposed to private practice.
Yeah.
Were there any things, I feel like there's, you hit a certain point where it's like, okay, I've hit the plateau. Is that kind of where you felt like you're like, okay, I've proven myself everywhere else. It's like, okay, now I got to do something for myself.
In the private practice office, the endo office I was at, I didn't feel supported. I was given minimal staff to help me versus help the owner. I was kind of a second thought. I was creating my owner doctor's like beer money for the weekend. He didn't really care. He didn't really care if I did well or if I succeeded. He could kind of take it or leave it is how I felt. And so I wasn't supported. I was not supported. Yeah. I feel like he was leaving a lot of money on the table by not helping me do more root canals, but I wasn't supported. I had minimal staffing. I wasn't really having like mentorship or camaraderie either. I wasn't working side by side another doctor there. It just kind of became a point where I wasn't really benefiting besides having a place to go to work and doing some root canals every day. And I was still making more money than I made in the Army, but I felt like I should really still be on the exponential upswing of my career. And I kind of plateaued. I was doing as much as I could with the staff that I was, with the support I was given. And I felt like I should be getting faster and doing more. And I felt like I was capable of, but I wasn't given the support and the tools that I knew that if I had and that I could kind of rally around me and I could kind of steer that I could do so much more, not just make more money, but like help more people. You know, you feel bad when people are calling with toothaches and it's like, I only have one person helping me. I cannot see you for 2 weeks. I cannot fit you in today because we didn't eat lunch yet and we got to go, you know? So I just, I wasn't given the support I needed. So that's kind of where I was. And there was some fear in leaving that, but there was also more like something's got to give here. So that's kind of where I was.
And I love that perspective because for like, it wasn't just like an income decision. It was like, and I think that's really important because so many dentists are wired similarly where it's like, it wasn't just an income decision for you. It was like, I can serve people better. I can serve my team better. I can serve patients better. Having that opportunity, is that kind of what you felt like
there was more out there for me, and being in this job that I didn't love, that couldn't be it for me. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I'm still in my 30s.
It was a job.
It was a job. I did some root canals. I made some money.
Right.
I was not excited to go there every day. And, mm-hmm. you know, it was just a job. And some people are happy in that plateau, in that, you know, this is how it is and I'm not going to rock the boat. And I don't want them to be mad at me. I don't want to burn a bridge. But at some point, you got to look out for yourself. And in my 30s, I still have a lot of working years and I can't be dreading going to work every day. And I can't be just like, is this it? You know, I'm at the time when I called Ideal, it was probably about 2 years, maybe a year and a half ago. I don't know, but I was 37 years old. I was a year or so out of the Army. Like, I still had a lot more to do in my career, and I just being in this job that didn't support me. And I gave them time and I asked them, could I get more staff? Could I get more help? I think I can do more. Just being unsupported consistently, and I noticed things weren't going to change, and I was like, you know what? I got to do something. Something has to change. Yeah. There was that. That was the kind of the first part of it. So that's kind of where the call to Ideal came, after asking and trying to improve my surroundings.
Hey there, Startup Dentist Podcast listeners. It's Steven Trotter here, taking a quick break from today's episode to share something special with you. If you're dreaming of owning your own dental practice, then you need to get your hands on our Startup Dentist book. This isn't just any book. It's a 200-plus page comprehensive guide that covers everything you need to know to start a successful dental practice. From picking the perfect location to designing a patient-friendly office to building a marketing plan that draws in your ideal patients, we've got you covered. This book is packed with insider tips and real-world strategies. I never think there's an epiphany. I think for a lot of dentists, they look for like this epiphany moment of like, this is the perfect time. It's time for me to do it. I think there's, in your experience, was it kind of like a buildup of a number of elements, like not getting the support, kind of being in environments that didn't fit for you? There wasn't like, was there an aha moment, or it was just like, do you feel like it was more of a culmination of moments that you said,
Time for
me to do something different.
So I am a very patient person, maybe to a fault. My staff is like amazed at like how patient I am sometimes. My husband is amazed at how patient I am sometimes. It is something I am known for. I do not, you know, fly off the handle, and maybe I tolerate more than I should, but I am very patient. I try to understand. I try to let things kind of simmer and marinate in my head, and I give them thought. Sure. And so it wasn't like I flew off the handle or had a falling out with my boss or anything.
Right, like Friday, like, this is it. This is awful. I'm out.
It was more and more of my schedule not being filled, of poor systems in place that people were booked 2 months ago, but were never quoted. And when we call them the day before to remind them and quote them, they're like, I can't pay that. And they cancel. And now, so I was sitting around a lot, and I had time to read your book at work.
not by design, but
exactly.
Thank you.
I know you didn't ask me to say that, but that is what happened. I had time to read a book, and I should not have time to read a book at work.
If anybody wants a copy of this book, it's called The Startup Dentist. You know,
that's the book. I shouldn't have had time to do that, and kind of that was a realization. That was like this, like, how do I have time to read this book? How do I have time to research these things and become more and more hyped up about changing my situation? I shouldn't have time to do that at work. And I sure did. And I know that is probably not the case for most people, but that is kind of my case. And so
I don't think it's uncommon, though. I think there's a lot I think you'll find, well, I mean, the downtime possibly might be a little bit more in your favor, but I think there's a lot of the looking at systems, feeling unsupported,
Yeah.
I think as associate dentists, if you're listening today, maybe you feel that way. Like, I don't feel supported. I don't feel like I have the systems to thrive. And I think that's the reason why so many dentists leave positions, is because it's not so much like, oh, I can make a good income. It's like they don't have the things around them that can help support their future. And in most cases, like in your case, it was like, you were so patient to a point where you're like, I can make more money for the owner, as opposed to, like, I think a lot of people are like, I'm just making a bunch of money for the owner. This guy was whoever it was probably leaving money on the table. And you're going, I can actually help you, but you don't care. And, or maybe you're not aware of that opportunity. But I think a lot of associates are in that position where they're working for somebody and it's like, I'm building somebody else's dream. I'm building somebody else's future.
Yeah.
You said beer money for the weekend. So, yeah.
I was respectful as an associate. It was like, well, you know, this is his business. If that's how he wants to run it. Like, I wasn't trying to like coach him, or I was just asking for more help just for me as a personally. And I wasn't getting the help. So it kind of came to a crossroads that something had to happen. And, you know, if I lived in a bigger city, I probably would have looked for another job. But in the Savannah area, this is not a huge metropolitan area. There's not a ton of endo offices or ton of endo openings. So it was either pave my own way or move. And I didn't really want to move. I love where I live. So
love it. It's a great area. Then why not? So perfect segue into, because I think people, you know, in a market like Savannah, where it's like, I either got to do it or not, or move in this case, you had to do it. People leave associate positions. So give us a little bit of, if there was a roller coaster or of like that predictability, like you took the leap and said, I'm out. I'm going to build my own practice. Mm-hmm. Not too many people do that, but there is leaving that associate position that most people like, I don't recommend it for everybody, but I think in your case, it was like the right fit and things like that. But like, I think just share with associates, whether they do it immediately or if they do it in your future, what is that? What is the mentality of that? What is that kind of that mental journey, if you would?
Well,
and think about like, you're talking to colleagues basically at this point.
I mean, so some people have like a hit rock bottom, like worst day ever, and this is what makes I gotta leave this job. But I didn't necessarily have that. I had this kind of slow kind of melting. It started as, oh yes, we're so booked out, please come, like we can do as many root canals as you want. And then it turned into, you're only gonna have one person helping you every day and hope that works out for you. And oh, he's sick today, so maybe we can try to send somebody else to help you, maybe. And you're out at this office by yourself. And what? So I was too patient maybe, but for me, it was just many things over time that it was like, I don't like this, I can do this better. You know, so for me, it was kind of a slow thing that I gave a lot of thought to. And maybe some people hit rock bottom and they're just like, I gotta go, I quit. But that wasn't me. I sort of slowly had time to read a book at work and kind of, you know, let me look at this, let me look at that. I found Dr. Brian's videos on maybe your YouTube channel or something. And I was like, I know Dr. Brian from the Army, and let me thing about Dr. That's Brian's journey. And I was like, if he can do it, you know, so it was just kind of, it was kind of a slow inspiration. Some people go into dentistry wanting to be an entrepreneur, to be a business owner, to be that leader, that's why they choose dentistry, because it's in the medical field, but you can also be you're a business owner.
Right.
But
right.
That was not my desire. I love doing the teeth, but I wasn't wanting to be a business owner. That wasn't like where I was headed from the get-go. So for me, it was scary convincing myself that I could also be that person. That was one thing that was a little scary for me. And I mean, as a dentist, we're the president of this club and that, and, you know, starting at a young age, we do what we need to stand out. So sure, could I lead a group? Could I do these things? Yes, sure. But my fears and my initial hesitation, where I wasn't immediately like, I hate this job, let me open my own practice. I had to kind of be convinced. I had to kind of be inspired over time. So for me, it was kind of a slower transition to kind of hype myself up. So the fear of being a business owner was really the thing that was sort of holding me back most. It wasn't the fear of like, can I do the root canals? I've been a dentist for a while. You know, the root canals are the easy part. Right. Now that's the easy part. So for me, it was the fear of like, am I even capable? Do I even know what I'm doing? Or could I figure it out what I'm doing to own a business? That was the scary part. I definitely wasn't like wishing for that to be me. So, and some people that is. So I kind of had to slowly convince myself and hype myself up that I could. And, you know, I still sometimes am like, how did I get here? Like, I own this business. People recognize me in public and stuff. So, you know,
But that's a reality. I think for those that are listening, I think it's like, I would say this. I always say, get comfortable about being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Would you say that's a reality? Like there are things you probably never thought you would ever do, had to do, would probably feel more comfortable with. And again, like you could still be Dr. Carly, the endo, and do your root canals and go home and be quiet. And, you know, but you could also be that other person. So I don't think it's like developing a new persona, but there is a little bit of like pushing your boundaries because if we stay comfortable, like you said, I think I'm putting your words in your mouth, but like there was like, you can stay comfortable and be like, okay, life is good. I can stay comfortable. But you can push yourself out of that comfort zone of achieving something that's much bigger, whether for yourself, for your family, for your community. And like you've done that. And, you know, like, not everybody like dreams of like, I mean, from a patient perspective, like, man, I can't wait to go get a root canal today. You're not really the most sought after, like, specialist that people want to see. Like, I can't wait to go see the endodontist. Like, Dr. Carly's going to be awesome. But you push yourself into new areas. And I think that's important for everyone to understand is like, listen, folks, startups aren't easy. Like, you're killing it. You're doing it well. But it is hard. It is not easy. You wear multiple hats.
Yes.
You have to do things you never thought you would have to do before. But it's not about, I think there's so many people I see on like Facebook groups that are like, I have a hard time. You know, like, I'm not really good with Facebook posts. I'm not really good with social media. Try it. You have to just do these things, right? Like,
I see you on
social media. You don't have to be perfect, but it's like, don't say you're not good at something and don't do it. Don't be like, I'm not really good at it and don't try it, or try it one time and say, well, that didn't work.
Yeah.
Or in your case, like making connections with like other providers, general dentists, referring partners and things like that. You push your boundaries. So I would say take away like your specialty and say, what are some of the things that you had to push yourself through from a boundary perspective? Like, I'm not an associate. I have to step out of my comfort zone. What are some of the hardest things you had to do to become a practice owner that probably pushed those boundaries that people would understand or that people should hear from you from that perspective?
Right. So I, especially coming from the Army, spending 9 years in the Army, I didn't know a lot about dental insurance. Everything was free. So I didn't.
That's right. 100% case acceptance in the military
and
is what happens.
And they're just like, whatever you say, ma'am, I'll do it. You know, that's fine. You know, so I didn't know about dental insurance. When I got to the DSO, I was doing, I still didn't know about dental insurance. That was the scary part that most, and they don't teach you any of that in dental school. They barely teach you how to be a dentist in dental school. So there's a lot more to learn. So I feel like I was behind the times as someone who had been a dentist for 10, 11, 12 years already.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd only been out in the wild for 2 or 3 years and I did not know enough about debt. So that was a scary thing I need to learn and understand that even though I am not personally doing that stuff, still need to know what's going on.
That's important.
I need 100%. To understand when my staff come to me and ask me something, I need to confidently tell them the right answer or at least nowhere to find it. So that was a scary part for me personally, because that is just not something that I ever needed to learn or understand. So that took a lot of learning. The business owner part about, you know, all the financial stuff behind what happens as an associate, I didn't think about that stuff. I was just like, why'd they buy this cheap, crappy version of this instrument, you know? And now I understand why they did, because it wasn't a crucial thing. We can have the cheap one for now, you know? So that kind of stuff. And in the Army, I didn't know how much things cost. We had whatever we needed, and it was all name brand stuff, because I don't even know how the Army does that, but it was all name brand stuff. I didn't know anything other than nice materials and nice things. So, learning some of the business stuff, business leadership is different than other leadership positions, you know, club president or this or that, or what things that we've done leading up to becoming a dentist, or, you know, that kind of stuff. I didn't know what I was doing. Can I lead a team, a small team locally? Sure. Yes. I'm the doctor here. I know what we're doing. I need you to go do this, whatever. You know, I can lead a small team. Have I ever had to lead the entire team around me at work? No, that was never part of my job or responsibilities, you know? So also removing myself from being a coworker to being a boss, that was something that I needed to kind of realign my attitude and how I approached things at work. Because when I was just the associate dentist, you know, I'll go grab a beer with you after work. We're buddies. We're coworkers, you know, and you know, in the Army, I was never like the highest ranking or the person in charge. So I was just, you know, one of the docs, you know? And so the staff sometimes treat you like peers, especially when you are their age. So learning how to be a leader of a business and be a boss was a little uncomfortable. I knew that I could probably figure that out, and I'm still figuring that out. I still think I'm a little too friendly with my employees sometimes, but you know, there's still things that you got to step out of your comfort zone. And just because I don't know these things and I was uncomfortable doing them, it didn't mean I couldn't. It just meant I didn't know how yet, you know? So, So
I think it's doing them over time too, because I think a lot of times if something doesn't work one time, it's like people abandon that. I think it's just like constantly like working into those areas to build up. It's kind of like if you're going to train for certain sports, it's like you train certain muscles. Like in this case, it's like you're training different muscle groups.
A lot of different muscle groups. Yes.
There's a lot of different muscles that you're training as a business owner. And it doesn't happen overnight. You know, like you said, it took time. It goes down. But I think it's important for associates to understand is that it does take time, that you need a guide. You need to be able to have a system, but also like there, I'll just say this. I brag about all of our military docs that have come through our system. You guys follow orders because that's what you're meant to do. And so like you are some of our greatest success stories, because it's like, all right, well, I do that next and how it works.
Yeah.
But it is, there is that implementation. It's just like you work with a patient and say, okay, here's what needs to be done. The greatest results happen from the greatest implementation. And that's how this works. So I think it's just continuously building upon that, and that there's not going to be like, you're not going to open up day one and be like, everything's going to be perfect. It's like continuously building those skills and that muscle group up, you know, within over time.
Yes. And I mean, and I've only been open, my doors have only been open for 7 months, and I'm already see things that I'm doing better now, or that I understand better now, that I, 2 months ago, I probably wasn't doing them as well as I'm doing them now. And 2 months from now, I will probably be even better. So that is also something that people need to be comfortable with, that day one is not going to be how you are on day 10 or day 100, you know? So I definitely am still uncomfortable in some things, but I'm getting more comfortable. I'm doing them better. They're becoming more second nature. And I probably will look back on the way I do things now a year from now and be like, what was I thinking? But you know what?
Yeah.
I tried it and, you know, so it's still a learning process. I've only been doing this for 7 months. So
I always say it's like every day, it's like, my oldest daughter, again, like we were going to record this like a week ago, and my oldest daughter is her senior in volleyball and everything. And, you know, so we pushed this episode out, but anybody's listening wouldn't even know that. But anyhow, when she started, this was her senior year, and like the first couple of practices, she was like, you know, Dad, I'm just not playing that well and everything. She was kind of upset. I go, you know what? Tomorrow, be 1% better. Next day, be another 1% better. I think for everyone, it's like everyone wants to get to be where they are. And after I've owned multiple businesses, but I've owned this business for over 10 years. It's like, I'm not 100% comfortable all the time either. So just peace of mind, Carly, I just say like, it's been 10 years and there's still like, oh, that thing we pull upon our experiences. But I think it's that incremental growth on a daily basis that we have to focus on, because I digress a lot, but like I've been a part of a program called Strategic Coach, which is an entrepreneurial training system. So this is not a plug for Strategic Coach, but they talk about this concept of the gap or the gain. And the gap is like what most people focus on is like where I'm not at. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm not there at that level yet. And that's the gap. And most people focus on like, I'm not there. But what you need to focus on is, well, how far have you come? That's the gain. Where you're at. So in other words, like you can look at it and say, man, where am I not at today? But like, think about where you were 7 months ago. Think about where you were a month ago. Mm-hmm. And everybody that's listening, like, I think that's a perspective, which is, it ain't going to be perfect from day one, but think about the incremental growth on a daily basis. And we have to focus on like, not how much, where we haven't gone, but how far we have come. And yeah, we have to congratulate ourselves, because we do get stuck as entrepreneurs. We get stuck in, I'm not there at that thing yet. All right. We can chase things, but we also have to like pat ourselves on the back every Friday, every so often, and say, you know what? We did pretty good.
Yeah.
We've come a long way to where we are.
We lived.
We live. So it's the hardest work. You were saying before I hit record on this episode, you're like, it's the hardest work I've done. All right. Spill the beans. It's the hardest work.
I am working harder than I've ever
7 worked.
7 months. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what I mean by that in my particular situation is I am doing more root canals every day than I ever did before.
Okay.
Yes. I'm
profitable. Are we profitable?
Yes. 100%. We were profitable. I want to say within a month or so, like the books were full from the beginning. So luckily, that hasn't been a huge problem, but I mean, it's because I'm working harder than I've ever worked before. You know what I mean? So where I wasn't supported, where I sat around a lot, where I had free time to ponder on things and stuff, I don't sit around and ponder too much anymore. We're rocking and rolling, and I have a great staff with me that have, you know, I guess. I'm helping motivate them. Surely it's got to be partly just me, and not that I was lucky to find these people, but you know, they're like, I could stay late today. I don't mind staying. We can do this root canal. We can help this person. Oh, he's going out of town. Let's just do it right now.
That's awesome.
That didn't happen when I had minimal support. You know what I mean? That could not happen. So we're getting the root canals done here. And,
That's a blessing. Vision, though. And I think that's important, is that I think one of the big, a lot of people have the fear of like becoming a business owner. I've never done it before, but there's also like having team members and things like that and finding the right team members. But I think there's also the inspiration of the team members of like having people. Yes, we can put up that, like the boss employee thing. I like to say leader, you're a leader. Mm-hmm. I think bosses tell people what to do. Leaders show people how to do it. You're being a leader, which is appropriate.
Yeah.
But I think it's also like they understand they're a part of what you're doing. They're a part of the vision of this practice.
Yes. And
I think that's a different feeling for people rather than like, I'm coming in, I'm working for this person, as opposed to I'm working for this person, but I'm a part of it, not just, you know, coming in, clocking in and leaving.
And
that's a huge difference, but it's also a huge difference on the patient experience, because that's what this is about.
100%.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And, you know, and I am by no means a motivational speaker, but I, I, I guess I can be inspiring at times, you know, and I have rallied my team around me, and I do treat them as teammates, not as, you know, my workers or anything. And they all came from crappy jobs that they were not feeling fulfilled at or feeling, you know, supported, or like they have all come from other places as well. And so to start out finding them, part of the interview was, you know, I'm creating this, you know, this is why I'm creating this. This is what I envision for this place. Like, I'm looking for people to help me build that and to build a better career and a better life for your family too. So it's not just about me. Yes, I needed to escape something that wasn't working for me, but I don't want this to be a place that people dread coming to work every day. And so Do they love coming here and can't wait to get here every morning? No, not always, but they don't dread coming here. And you know, and I've asked them all, the day you start dreading to come here, you got to let me know. We got to have a talk. You need to do what's better for you. And so in 7 months, we haven't lost anyone yet, but you know, they do still rally behind me. And I do kind of refocus the group when we've had a rough day. Like, you guys were building something awesome. Yeah. People want to work here. You know, people ask, oh, are you guys hiring? You know, so by putting that out to the world, and you know, and we've even had patients mention this in Google reviews, like, you can tell these people love working together and stuff like that. So
that's awesome.
The people notice, the other patient, the patients notice, their family that comes and sits with them notices, you know, and people looking for an endodontist who read a Google review, they notice that stuff too. So it's not just a better place for me and a place for me personally to better my life. It is a place that I'm trying to help my teammates better their lives as well. So
yeah, that's great perspective. I love that, because I think that's what, you know, we're trying to help, you know, obviously patients get out, you know, in your case, like get out of pain and things like that. But also I think it's important, because I think a lot of associates, because they're exposed to environments where it's like, they feel like they're a pawn, that they feel like that's how everybody's kind of like treated in environments. And I think it's, in your case, and I think this is the thing that we always instill with all of our clients, is like having people be a part of your journey, because then they feel more valued. They're going to create a better experience to the patient, because it takes a village. So it's not just you. Like you said, this journey wasn't just about you. It was you taking the leap, but it was also having other people to say, hey, listen, I want to help you as well. And I think that's a great perspective, because I think a lot of people miss that, is that those that are around you, your team and things like that, are valuable to you, and helping support and understand what their goals are is a bigger mission. And it's a part of the mission of the practice. And I always talk about this. I talk about practice profits and purpose, like that purpose of your practice, the profits come.
Yeah.
All those other things come. You can have both. You have a great purpose, and you can be profitable and have people that love what they do. And I think that's such a great message. So what would you tell, you know, so it's been 7 months since you've been open, and, you know, been a couple of years. What would you tell yourself as an associate, like just as you're from a journey perspective, just to reflect on becoming a practice owner and taking that leap?
Like if I told past Carly, like, this is what's going to happen to you, or like, this is what you are capable of. Yeah. I mean, I would say you're going to be uncomfortable, but you've been uncomfortable leading up to this moment anyways. You know, it's not super comfortable becoming a dentist in the first place, you know, sacrificing social life to study and all the stuff you have to do, and the late nights doing your stupid denture wax up and all this stuff that, look where that got me. I do root canals all day. Glad I did that, you know, you're going to be uncomfortable at points, but you've done that before, just in different ways, you know? And so, like you said, it's okay to be uncomfortable. It's about pushing the boundaries or whatever. And it's okay to be uncomfortable, because great things can happen in that uncomfortable area. You know what I mean? Staying comfortable doesn't necessarily lead to any progress or gains or, you know, success. Staying comfortable is showing up to a job and collecting your paycheck. And so that just wasn't for me, and it's not for everyone. And past Carly, you can do this.
Yeah. I love that perspective because I never heard, no one's ever said it that way. It's like, wait a minute, I've already been uncomfortable for my entire life. I've been trying to become a dentist and everything. Like, yeah. What's the difference? You know, you may as well like, all right, I may as well like pursue my dream of doing this.
Yeah.
And you, everybody thinks differently and everybody like makes decisions differently. And I think your perspective was, I won't put words in your mouth, but I'll say more of a methodical decision maker. It wasn't like Friday where it's like, the hell with this, I'm out. It was, okay, few other things. Let me do my research. Let me read a few things. Let me gather in the intel, if you will, in order to make this particular decision. As my oldest daughter comes by and waves at me on this podcast here. Yes, hello. Like, you gathered that intel to do that. So I think that's a great perspective because, like, in the, like, I make decisions very quickly. You know, I met my wife. We got engaged after 10 months. We got married 11 months later. Like, that's kind of how I make decisions. Other people make decisions a little bit differently.
Yeah.
It's not right or wrong. It's simply different. But I think it's a great perspective for those that are listening that say, I need the research. I need to do the information. But there isn't, like in your case, it wasn't like this Friday, everything opened up and said, this is the way to go. It was just small things.
Yeah, well, but also
pointed you in that direction.
Also, becoming a dentist, anyone who's become a dentist is familiar with delayed gratification. The I have to do these four years of college. I have to study for the DAT. And now I'm in dental school. This isn't that fun. I have to stay up late and do this stupid denture. Mm. I have to do this, but keeping your eye on the
and then go to Army in your case.
That was uncomfortable. Okay. That was not something that I had been preparing for my whole life. That was me sitting in the pre-dental club at UCF and an Army recruiter was like, we've got scholarships. You can join the Army and you can be a dentist and you can get school paid for. And I was like, I'm not really an Army type person, but getting school paid for, let me look into this, you know, let me ask questions. let me see if he can let me talk to another. Are there girl doctors in the Army?
Is there anywhere fun we go? Is there anywhere fun we go for the Army?
Can he put me in touch with, is there another girl doctor I can talk to? Like, you know, things like that. So, you know, I did some research and that took some getting comfortable with that idea,
right.
You know, signing on that dotted line to join the Army. That was a weird day in my life, but it was all kind of looking forward to the future, the delayed gratification. Yeah. And for me, I'm a planner, I'm a thinker, I'm a ponderer. Let it marinate for a little while. And so to become a dentist takes all of that delayed gratification anyway. So for me, it was a lot of research and let me think about it. Let me, what other options are there out there and stuff. And so it took a while to convince myself I could do it and I was comfortable, but a lot of things in life have done that for me and for many other dentists. So that's kind of how it happened. It wasn't an overnight thing.
Right. And I think that's great perspective because like you've been in that, not in that comfort zone. And I think that's a lot of people. It's like, oh my God, I'm going to leave my associate position. You've already been uncomfortable leading up to this point, becoming a dentist, doing all these things, working late, like, becoming a practice owner is just like that next level of becoming. Now, it's not for everybody. I just always say this, like, practice ownership is definitely not right for everybody.
No.
But I think it's, if you think it's like this dramatic get out of my comfort zone thing, you're already out of the comfort zone. It's just that next thing.
Yeah.
It's that next step in life. So, awesome perspective.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing. All right, everybody. Okay. So, if you want to learn more about like journeys like Dr. Carly's gone through and you want to chat with us, and then I tell you what, like Dr. Carly, you spoke to Jen with our team, right? At the very, very beginning of this process. And how was that? And again, that's like kind of like preparing everything. So I always say like, you want to talk with us, you want to learn more about like Dr. Carly's story, then talk with us, schedule time with Jen on her team. You can go to idealpractices.com. Schedule a one-on-one clarity call, learn more about like what Dr. Carly's gone through. What does it take to become a practice owner? What does it take to leave that associate position to learn more about becoming a practice owner? Dr. Carly, thank you very much for taking time out of your schedule.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
7 months, profitable, doing it. Great team, no turnover.
We're awesome crushing story. It.
And you're crushing it and doing insurance claims in the dark, which I remember seeing that post. So
yeah, on the weekend in the dark.
Startups never sleep. So
no. Sometimes we do, but not all the time. Not yet.
Not all the time. Awesome stuff. All right. All right, everybody. That is a wrap on the topic of leaving that associate position, pushing yourself out of the comfort zone. Don't forget to check all the show notes for any and all links and resources that we talked about today. Next time, I'm actually going to talk and make a big shift. We're going to dive into the world of dental practice acquisitions, the do's and don'ts, how to do them correctly, and really how to approach them so that you just don't buy somebody else's old practice, that you actually buy a practice and you have a plan to make it thrive and grow. So I'll see you there. As we wrap up this episode, take a moment to picture yourself a year from now. Are you still in your associateship? Or are you rocking it at your own dental practice, creating beautiful smiles and making a real difference? If that's the dream, it's time to chase it. Before we split, make sure to hit subscribe, drop a review, and give us your rating. It helps us keep bringing you the good stuff that you're into. Until we meet again, keep taking that next step towards your future practice. Here's to investing in your dreams and making them a reality.